Well, we don't have a whole lot of time, but let's go ahead and go into something that will hopefully pump you up. I'm serious in that respect. Let's go into Revelation, if we might, at the 20th chapter, I believe it is, and pertain to something that everybody knows about, and everybody needs to be refreshed. And you know, we know our Bible, don't we? Sure we do, but we got to be refreshed on certain issues. And it's one of the things that has been on my heart here lately. Matter of fact, I've woken up at 2 o'clock and sometimes 3 o'clock thinking, what am I awake for? And I think of my son. I don't think he's saved, my oldest son, of course. I don't think he's saved, and he's having a hard time. But I've been praying that he get down on his knees and ask the Lord for forgiveness. Because, you know, if he's saved, I sure don't see any signs of any fruit. And all of you have relatives. I know you do. I've got an uncle that's only a year and a half older than I am. And he needs to get saved. I've talked to him several times. He's even got tears in his eyes. But we need to have compassion. By compassion, we pull him out of the pits of hell. And I know that that's why that I brought this, or am bringing this message here tonight, even though it will not be anything too profound at all. But the Lord's word is profound to us. And that's why we need to reiterate it over and over again. Let's look at Revelation 20 at verse 11. And we'll read God's word. Before we do, let's pause in word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be able to come into this position to be able to deliver your message. And I pray and ask that it will not fall on deaf ears, but it will be able to be motivating us and prodding us along to be able to be more of a spokesman for you in the days ahead. So bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's look at verse 11. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, and from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was not found no place for them. And I saw the dead and small and great standing before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which is in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. We want to focus on works. There's works in several places here. And verse 14, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. I've used that verse right here in verse 15, many times, about whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life. I even shared that in the hospital over there to this one individual. And this one young guy that got saved, I think he did, because he'd taken an interest in going to church. You know, if all this catastrophe took place just for one soul, so let it be. Amen. And many times I reach out and I can't even stretch my hand out, and then I get to shaking real bad. And Jesse said, you got the palsies? I said, no, my boy, I've just got the shakes. My nerves are damaged. And so if you pray about anything for me at all, pray that I'll be able to walk without this or a cane, which would be great. And I feel bad that I cannot do any more work out here, but that's another story. When you get into this kind of a situation, you don't know what's going to take place. And I say, well, if I would have had this operation done 6 months ago, I wouldn't be in this situation. Well, maybe not. But we know that the Lord will use us, just like the pastor said, a little as much when God is in it, right? All right. So if the rapture was to take place today, the great white throne of judgment would be not for another 1,007 years, right? Because of the tribulation period and because of the millennium time. And we know that it's important to know that God has everything in its proper timetable. But this time on this earth, we know that the judgment of the great white throne is for the unbeliever. And that's the reason that I thought this might be fitting whenever I saw this. As I was reading it, I thought, this is going to be a message for me today. And what's good for me is good for you, right? Sure it is. Everybody needs to be passing out tracts, telling people about the Lord, and when I don't have a track and the Lord says, you should have spoken to that person, I feel bad about it. Do you? Do you have a conscience like that? I hope so, because we all need to be familiar with the scriptures, and most of all, to be able to speak when God has us to speak. So as believers, we will not go through this, of course. But everybody and their dog, no, dogs won't be at the Great White Throne, but there will be Christians, there will be unsaved people, there will be every mankind except for those that are not at the age of accountability, at the respect, I believe, at that throne. Now, I might be wrong. Maybe they will be there. I don't know. But nevertheless, we know that we'll be there because of a witness. And we're going to say, as they will look at us in the bleachers, and you know the old, I don't know if you've ever read John R. Rice. Now, he's got a little off the trail sometimes, but you know, he has a lot of good things. And one of the things of his book was the bleachers with believers that were in the bleachers looking down to those that were going to be cast into the lake of fire. And whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life. That's going to be a terrible, awesome place, that an event that we are going to stand and see our loved ones cast into the lake of fire. And I've got cousins, I've got different ones. I'm grateful that I was able to lead my grandmother to the Lord. She was in close to 80 years old when I did. And I take no credit for that, because she was ripe for the harvest. Yeah. Kind of reminds me of these two little boys that were in church. And they would come down every Sunday, an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old. A 10-year-old would come down to the altar and they would pray for their grandparents. And you know, they thought that these boys were just wasting their time. But 3 years down the way, after every Sunday, they would go down to the altar and pray that these grandparents, they turned their heart to the Lord, and they were like picking fruit off the vine. We must not underestimate the power of a child, right? Because you're 8, right? And we know that it's important for every one of us to be able to be a spokesman. Just like Jesse said, or Rana said, when I think it was Jesse, when I was over to the Dollar Tree one time and I started talking to this individual, I think it was, and I didn't give him a tract, didn't even say anything to him about the gospel. And I walked off, and Jesse said, aren't you going to tell him about the Lord? I thought, well, that's great to hear, knowing that my son is soul conscious. You know, everybody ought to be soul conscious, right? But, you know, there's so many people that live on the edge. They say, well, maybe one of these days I'll get it taken care of. Reminds me of a guy that was, if you don't mind me telling this account, and it was supposed to be true, about this millionaire, and he wanted to hire a chauffeur because he had a nice limousine, and he wanted to hire the right one to be able to drive him around at various different places. And so he had the first applicant come over, and he said, now, I'm going to put you to the test. And he said, the applicant said, yes, all right. So he said, you get in the limousine, and we're going to go up the mountains, and I want to see how close you can come to the edge of that mountain. And the guy said, sure. And he come within just a few feet of the mountain edge and came back, and the millionaire said, or maybe he's a billionaire, but he had a lot of money, said, well, we'll let you know how the results come. We've got a few more applicants. Next applicant come along, and the millionaire said, well, we'd like to put you to the test too. And so he said, now we want you to come up to close to the mountain edge without going over and see how close you can get. So he come within just a foot. And so he said, all right, we'll let you know whenever we get these other applicants taken care of. So the third applicant come along, and the millionaire said, we want to put you to the test and see how close you can come to the edge of this mountain to see what kind of driver you are. And so he said, no way, Jose, I'm not even come close to that mountain edge. He said, you're hired. You know why? Too many people live on the edge, don't they? They just don't see the very issue of getting their salvation taken care of today. They keep putting it off and they're putting off, and next thing you know, they're going to end up in eternity unless the Holy Spirit tugs at their hearts. Right. Let's look at a few scriptures here pertaining to, let's go to Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of glory. We know the Lord is going to be the final judge, because all power is given unto the Lord Jesus. And he is worthy of that, is he not? Because he come to sacrifice himself for you and I. But there's going to be billions of people that are going to be on the very eternal evaluation, coming to court. They're going to come to court, and the Lord's going to have these lined up. How long do you think it's going to take for these people's books to be read about their life? I don't know about yours, but mine is going to be so-so. It depends on how long I live, of course. But the whole issue is the works. As we know in Revelation, as we're talking about the works, we're not going to be judged according to our sin. But we're not talking about the judgment seat of Christ. We're talking about the great white throne, where the unsaved are going to be there, and they're going to be judged by their works. And their works is not going to cut it, because it's not going to get them anywhere, is it? They're not going to make it to heaven. And we know it's important to be able to pray, and earnestly. The Lord says, by compassion, we pull them out of the pits of hell. And I've got a message here. I could go on and on and on. But let's look at the seriousness and the sobering scene that we look at here about the first heaven. We know that this first heaven, which we live in right now, is just the gravitational pull. And how many miles that goes out, I don't know. I should know, but I don't. But the second heaven is the, everybody knows this, right? The moon and the stars and all this kind of thing. And then the third heaven, of course, is where the Lord is at, the triune God. And some say this, I don't know for sure, where that judgment is going to be. Some people say, well, it's not going to be in the third heaven with the Lord, because sinners can't come in his presence. Could be. So that means that there's only another heaven, and that's the second heaven. I don't know. That could be just something that was conjured up in somebody's mind, but it might be the fact. So, but nevertheless, they're going to be judged. We're all going to be judged, but the unsaved people are going to be judged by their works and not being able to stack up those works according to the Lord. So I believe that the judgment seat will take place in possibly that second heaven. Let's then turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter. I believe that's the next verse I want to go into. The 7th chapter it is. Matthew 7, that verse. What did I have it here? The 13, I think it is. And I used to quote this one, but I don't want to botch it up. No, it's 21, isn't it? Yeah. No, 21. For not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have we cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And we know that someday these unsaved people are going to be looking up at us from that bleachers, and they're going to say, why did you not tell me? You know, I got neighbors that I have been waiting for that woman to learn how to speak better English. Is that a cop-out? Could be. And Jesse is a good friend of Christopher, that little boy that Renee takes school every morning, and I put in windows, and I won't go into all that because I botched the window up because the glass fell out of it, but Who knows whose responsibility it was, but I didn't charge them a dime, is what I'm saying. Trying to be the proper witness to those neighbors there. And the neighbors on the other side, I've witnessed them, I've given them tracts, but the Mexican, Spanish people are next on our list that we want to try. And we do pray for them every day. Well, not every day, but most days. We pray for them that they would get saved. And you know, I don't know about you when you got saved, before you got saved, but my late wife and I had her relatives pray for us all the time before we got saved. Do you think anybody's prayed for you before you got saved? I know Brother Glenn and Tina. I don't know about Brother Dave. But I do know that people and all the rest of you, we know that prayer is a very important thing. So the unsaved people are, we are the spectators, and we're going to see them cast in the lake of fire. It's going to be a horrific, terrible thing that we can see people cast into eternal lake of fire. Can you fathom that? I can't fathom it. It's beyond my comprehension why the loving God, as some people say this, but he's a just God. He cannot tolerate any sin in his presence, can he? And so he has to get rid of them. And there was no place found for them. Why is that? Because he cannot have unsaved people in his presence. And because of the love of Christ, we are accepted in the Beloved, aren't we? Just like I was telling a friend of mine here today, that we are accepted in the Beloved, no matter what anybody says. I was over at Menards here yesterday, matter of fact, run across a guy. He says, "You mean to tell me that you believe in eternal security?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And he got boisterous about it. Matter of fact, Rand, I thought we were arguing. And I said, "Yes, sir, I sure do." And he says, "Well, I believe in sanctification." And he says, I said to him this, I said, "You mean to tell me that you can, you ask forgiveness of every sin that you've ever committed during that day?" And he said, "Well, no, subconsciously, I don't know that I've actually said the prayer for every sin I've committed during that day." But he says, "It's all forgiven." Well, if it is, what did you do to deserve lack of salvation? Because you're saying that you can lose it. And he went off on some other tangent. I won't go into all that. But doesn't that make you mad when people don't want to agree with you? Does me. I want to grab hold of them and shake some sense into them. But I couldn't. So we know that it's important to be able to be a witness, no matter whether we get buffeted or not, for our sake. It says in Hebrews 9:27, "It's appointed unto men once to die." There's an appointment for everybody. We've had several deaths, related or unrelated, into the church family here, but mostly related in some way or another. My cousin, 57 years of age, died of a heart attack. You know, that's pretty young as far as I'm concerned. It really is. And we know that there's an appointment for him to go. But you know, he was a born-again man. He played the piano beautifully. And my late wife and I, and him, I should say, used to sing together. And even though he was a Methodist, God will forgive him for that, right? Because I used to be a Methodist. And I was under conviction in the days past, but never did get saved until after I come back from Vietnam. So Jesus will open up the books and show them what they did or didn't do. And that is asking for forgiveness. And it grieves me to know that my son is out there fighting a battle. But you know what? That battle, whatever it may take, he's been in jail I don't know how many times. And it grieves me to think that he is not going to make it unless somebody prays for him. And my daughter, my oldest daughter over there in Illinois, prays for him, and I pray for him. And Renee, every now and then, and the kids do. And so I'm not going to go any further with the message, but just give us a pump you up tonight about winning souls for Christ, because that's where it's at, isn't it? And I was burdened about about that when I was in the hospital over there, and that's why I want to tell others about the Lord and what he did for me. And I said, when I get out of there, I'm going to do what I can do. And I know even if I have to walk with that thing, I'm going to go walking house to house. And whether it's cold, blizzardy or not, I need to get out there and do some more witnessing for the Lord. So I could go on with this message. I've got more notes here, but let's go ahead and ask the Lord that he will be able to help us to be better witnesses for him, and realizing that we've got not only relatives, but we got people here in this town that need our voice, do they not? It'd be a terrible thing to say for when we get before the judgment seat, and the Lord's mainly about the unsaved people that we know and we've been around and we haven't witnessed to them. I know of a guy, and I'll say this just before we close, that I used to go hunting with this guy's son all the time there in Aurora, Nebraska. And the Lord put it on my heart to witness to him. I witnessed everybody else. But since he was, I can't say he was high on the echelons of society at all, but he was a man that was older than I was, and he had more influence, you might say, as I was growing up. And I neglected to talk to him about the Lord, and then he died shortly after, before I even actually got out of Bible college. And I felt bad about it. You ever been there? Know that somebody died, and you know that the Lord told you to speak to them? It's important that we have that ingrained indelibly upon our hearts, that we might be able to be more of a witness. And the Lord has built this edifice up here for us, and I've got a full-time pastor here and modular home for him and his wife to live in. We got to burn this city up, don't we? Yeah. And if we don't, we're going to give an account of who we didn't talk to and what time that we made excuses, because there will not be any excuses in heaven. None whatsoever. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be able to have this time, to be able to come before you and ask for your guidance, to be upon our lifestyle, that we might be more pumped up for you in the days ahead, to be able to be effective for your service. Thank you for the progress that you've made here thus far, getting this modular home up to standards here and placed in the proper foundation. And that's what we need to have, Lord, is more of a foundation to be able to build on, not to say that we have rewards in heaven, but to say that souls can glorify your name when we get before your presence. And most of all, we'll have to give an account of how we've taken your word out into the community. So help us to be better servants for you. In Jesus' name we pray.